Hey guys, I want to invite you to the Liturgy of the Land Conference on December 13th and 14th. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information, but I want to invite you to join us for a 2 days discussion, discernment, and community with a phenomenal lineup of experienced homesteaders, farmers, and craftsmen. Dave and Lady Pamela will be there. Lady Haley and I will be there, and we'd love to have you guys there as well. Go to liturgyoftheland.com. There's already 60% of the tickets have been sold, so they're going very, very fast. But Sean and Beth Doherty is going to be there, Brandon Shear, Jason Craig, Tom Gallagher from Tan Books, Alan Harrelson, who's been on our show, Pipe Cottage, Thomas Van Horn, who's the owner of Ambrosian Candle Company, who also provided us with candles for a lot of our patrons, Dr. Jared Stout from Exodus 90. There's going to be a whole host of different people there. We'd love to have you guys go. Go to liturgyoftheland.com for more information. It's interesting that we're approaching the time of welcoming the Christ child in to the world. It's an interesting time, not just liturgically, but how our society has just completely skipped this very intentional season. Don't you think? Don't you think that Advent is almost basically all but forgotten?
Yeah, well, that's sort of a Protestant consequence. Protestants in general, because they abandoned liturgical seasons, they kept certain feast days as part of their tradition, but they lost all sense of preparation. You know, very, very few celebrate Lent. You know, everybody celebrates Easter, so they have kind of inverted.
I'm shocked also that a lot of Christians have never even heard of Lent.
Yeah, well, a lot of them haven't. Especially once again, because Protestantism has really just been washed out over the last couple of generations. You know, the difference theologically today between a Baptist and a Methodist cannot be clearly articulated by the vast majority of American Christians, myself included. Whereas there was a day where there were dogmatic differences that were important to Baptists about why they were a Baptist, and Methodists the same. Now, the general attitude in Protestantism is, like, as long as you're going to a Christian church, and when they say that, very often they exclude Catholics, like a Christian church except for Catholics, you know, then it's like, it doesn't really matter what church you go to, which if that's your attitude, you have betrayed that you yourself don't even believe that there is like church, the truth in your, you know, like you've seemed to have given up on the idea of pursuing or even finding the truth of what Christianity is. Like if it's like, oh yeah, that church, our church, whatever, you know, like it's all good. It's like, no, that's no, because like Christianity is a thing and it exists in a specific form, right? And so if that's your attitude, then you've already surrendered. You've already lost. But because of all this, just to answer your original question, they have inverted the order of feasting. And so instead of fasting into a feast and then celebrating, they kind of have what many people have called the feast up until then, and then have the hangover afterwards. You know, like it. That's why it's Christmas. And then like the day after Christmas, people start throwing out their Christmas tree.
Mm-hmm.
The Christmas season just started.
Right.
You know, like it's supposed to last a while. And if you have a professional service who puts up your Christmas lights, within a week, your lights are coming down because that's like the time that they do it. And, you know, you pay to have it. You got to do it when they're available to do, you know, it's just, that's just the way it is. But it's because of the Protestant culture here in America.
Well, I think that it's also a lot of, like, since most of the Protestants who are listening now have probably turned us off, I think that there's a lot of issues there. That's a pretty broad brush. I wouldn't be willing to go there or go that far. But I also think that this just the secular world has forgotten what holidays are. You know, they were holy days. But, mm-hmm. you know, and so it also has to do with a lot of just the commercialization of yeah. things.
Well, the secular world never cared about holy days. You know, here in America, we used to have sort of a Christianized secular culture, right?
We used to have days of fasting as a nation.
Right.
Like the president would call days of fasting.
President Trump did one
mm-hmm.
in his first term.
And people like freaked out about it because they're like, he can't do that. And it's like, well, we actually.
Why don't you tell that to Abraham Lincoln?
Right. Yeah.
George Washington.
Right. Yeah. Which is pretty incredible. I just find that this season, I asked that question because I find this season so important and like joyful, and it like it's the anticipation, and mm-hmm. it's a time of awe and wonder and silence, and you know, like the build up, and you know, it's like during Holy Week with Lent, you know, you're building up to so that way you can sing Alleluia, you know,
right
at Mass, at Easter Mass.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, all this preparation. And Advent is a recognition of the reality of Christmas, because if you knew that Jesus was coming back, right. like this, the second coming is going to be this December 25th,
mm-hmm.
Of course you would be doing all kinds of things to prepare.
Right.
You would be getting your affairs in order. Mm-hmm. You'd be you would be changing your life. You would be, you know, probably spending more time in silence and in prayer, really reflecting, examining your you know, you would be doing all the things that the church calls us to do here in Advent. And so having the Advent season is just a recognition and a reality of what we celebrate, it celebrating the reality of what Christmas is.
Right. I think actually Father Mike Schmitz, in one of his awesome Ascension Presents videos a couple years ago, he actually proposed a thought experiment of saying, what if you knew that December 25th was your last day to be on this earth? How would you prepare? And he said that because like we're preparing for the coming of Christ. Well, we're preparing for the coming of Christ in Bethlehem, you know, 2000, like as he did 2000 years ago, but we're also preparing for his second coming, you know, and that means you can't actually avoid Christ's second coming, right? Either you're going to die and you're going to be in front of him on your day of judgment,
right.
or he's going to come back and then you're going to have your day of judgment. Either way.
He's going to come.
He's going to be
You're going to be right before him, yeah.
Right. And so if that's the case, how better to prepare for our Lord, you know, coming into this world, incarnation, that the God-man, like this is what St. Athanasius talks about, right? In his incarnation book, he said that God loved man so much that he became man so that man can become like God.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this theosis process of becoming, this divinization process. Yeah.
Really pretty scandalous.
Yeah, and if you think about that, you're absolutely right. It is kind of scandalous to consider.
The incarnation is the greatest scandal. That God, who is all power, like
infinite,
all things, all perfect goodness, would stoop and take on flesh and limit himself into one specific form,
mm-hmm.
and walk for a time, you know, like that he would confine himself in this way. Obviously, he's not ultimately confined, but into space-time, right? That he would put on the facade of being a creature is a huge scandal.
Yeah, I wouldn't because say a facade, because he actually did become one.
Yeah, but, well, he didn't become a creature. He became he took on a human nature,
mm-hmm.
but he didn't become a creature, right?
Yeah,
he was still a divine person,
right? With two natures,
yeah, which is just complicated.
Yeah, there's no reason like we should move on from this before yeah. we become heretics.
Yeah, I know, but it is so far below his dignity. That's
yeah,
why it's
but,
a scandal.
But it's something really to reflect on. And I thought when I saw that video, this is a couple of years ago, I should watch it again during this Advent season. But it is something to really ponder during this time period of, if I knew that December 25th was my last day here on Earth, how would I prepare?
Mm-hmm.
And that would really help you to really order your life in such a way of putting the highest priorities in the highest, you know, spots in your life.
Yeah. Buy more life insurance, you know, unless it's going to be everybody's last day on earth. And
right. Then that didn't matter.
Don't worry about that.
I'd cash in my life insurance.
Yeah, exactly.
I'd buy a bunch of lottery tickets and hide them and then write a note to my family saying that I hid 400 lottery tickets all over. And maybe I bought $3.99 or something. Make them continue looking. That's what I should do. Go out lying. That would be
great
a good
idea.
Yeah, great idea. Yeah, that would be terrible.
Excellent ideas here on the Catholic Man Show for the end of the world.
But yeah, so this is a season of waiting, a season of hope. You know, St. Thomas Aquinas talks about hope, right? He says that hope is required, like to have hope, it has to be difficult yet attainable.
Right.
And so you have to have faith that you actually can achieve it, that you can obtain it, but it has to be difficult insofar as like that way you have to actually have the desire and the hope that you can actually get to it, which is very interesting. I would not have been able to articulate it that way.
Right. But. Yeah. The Christian definition of hope doesn't just mean like it's different from the way we often use the word in like day-to-day conversations. You know, because sometimes we might use it in a way for something like we know is not going to happen. Like, oh man, I hope something, you know, whatever. And like, you don't actually mean it in a way that like you think it's possible.
Right.
But in order to have hope in a Christian sense, it needs to be something that we can have reasonable, you know, trying to not use the word hope, you know, a reasonable thought or reasonable chance. Like it's reasonable to expect, yeah, that this is something that will that can actually happen.
Yeah. So this is a season of hope, you know, and this is the theological virtue of hope is something that we've been given through our baptism, and so it's good to consider like how do we cultivate this idea of hope, this virtue of hope, not idea, but this virtue of hope, you know, throughout this Advent season to prepare for the coming of the Christ child.
Amen. Amen. Got some ideas here, so we'll be sharing those with you on the other side of the break. We're going to be talking all about Advent.
Shout out to the Catholic radios out there. Dave and I, we're celebrating our 10-year, and Jim is here as well. He's a board member of St. Michael's Catholic Radio. We're celebrating 10 years here in Tulsa, which is super exciting.
It's awesome.
We have our fundraiser this Friday.
We'll be right back.
Men, do you feel stuck in old idols or burdened by the pharaohs of our time? Do you know that you're capable of so much more than you are giving today? Exodus 90 is the number one freedom app to help you become the man you were created to be. Exodus 90 is a powerful 90-day journey to freedom in Jesus Christ, and it starts on January 20th. Download the Exodus 90 app today to join tens of thousands of men from all around the world. We begin January 20th. Join us.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles here with Adam Minahan. We've got Jim Spencer guarding the door. Today, we're going to be trying two different beverages on the Catholic Man Show, both eggnog. This is liquor store eggnog. This is not stuff you get at Brahms. I don't know if you guys have Brahms where you are, wherever you are listening. If you don't have Brahms, you're really missing out. Brahms is awesome. You should move to the Midwest so that you can live near a Brahms.
Brahms
is not a sponsor of our show, but we would love to have them as a sponsor.
They could even pay us an ice cream and I'd be okay with that.
I would
that.
Be fine being paid an ice cream. That is
yes.
Totally acceptable.
Mode of currency for the Catholic Man Show.
However, I just went to the liquor store today. They had a selection of two eggnogs, and so I bought both of them. We're going to be trying them. We've started off with Evan Williams, which is it's at 15% alcohol. So it's made with Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey and blended whiskey, rum, and brandy. I was posing the question to you earlier, Adam, that if you take blended whiskey and then mix it with a Kentucky Straight Bourbon whiskey, don't you just have blended whiskey? Yes. It's funny to me that you would list both. I guess like,
oh, but they need to list both because it's like, listen, we're adding.
We
we're
had adding a nice. We had a nice. Exactly. We had Evan Williams in here. That's right.
Right. And then we took a bunch of.
We took some trash.
Yeah.
And put it in there.
Legally, I have to add a little bit of Evan Williams in here.
Well, it's we're allowed to put it on there, so we're doing it. But I will tell you, fantastic. Like personally, I'm an eggnog fan, so I'm really digging this. If you're not an eggnog fan, you probably won't dig it. But I am. And so it's like,
it's a win for you.
It's so good.
Yeah, it is.
Like
good.
Nothing will make you morbidly obese faster than eggnog. That's what I think. Like, I don't know what the calorie count is in here, but when you taste it, you just know that is
a meal in a glass.
Gosh, this is really getting me prepared for the cold weather.
Yes.
Like, this is building insulation.
Thick.
Yeah. So anyway, we'll be trying the other one here pretty soon. But we're talking about Advent today.
Yes.
Before we get into that, I just want to mention we had a really good event here at the Niles Ranch the other day. We had a recitation night.
Do tell.
This is our second annual recitation.
Pray tell.
Yes. Forsooth, I will. We just get together some homeschool families and have the children and the adults present poetry or other things. A couple children played some pieces on the piano. There's some other skits involved, but it's just a really great, I built a stage that we have. Nice. And like backdrop with lights and, you know, try to go all out. I wear a tuxedo and MC the event. It's been really great. When you homeschool, you have to create big things. You have to create, well, opportunities. Because, you know, if you go to, like, you send your kids go to the cathedral school. And so they have a night. You know, there's at least once a year, I know, where the school puts on something very, very similar. You know, like the classes and maybe even individuals will recite some poetry that they've been learning. When we do it here, I try to incorporate adults. Because I want the children to see that poetry is not just for children.
That's wise, yeah.
Yeah, so that it's adults and children both presenting things that they like. And
so what did you recite?
Well, I wrote an original poem for the introduction. It's just like a poem that talks about, you know, here's what we're going to be doing this evening. Here's how it's going to go. And then I also recited Dana Gioia's poem, Summer Storm.
Oh, yeah.
Which is just
a beautiful poem.
It's a beautiful poem, but if you and I both kind of share this, that it was a poem, it was one of the first poems that ever struck me. Just, you know, I knew nothing about poetry, and I just encountered this one. And it was the first poem that ever, like, kind of caught me off guard in the beauty of it all. And there are many, many many beautiful poems out there like that, but because it was the first, it kind of has
resonates and it has a special spot.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what I did. It was great. We had a great time. Anyway, just
good. It's a great idea.
It's a great thing to do. You know, one thing, especially in the holidays, you know, like people are getting together, like there's a lot of really great Christmas poems to learn.
There are. Yeah. Francis Weiser has a book called it's called something like Catholic Traditions or something like that. If you look it up, Francis Weiser, he's a Jesuit priest, Handbook for Catholic Traditions or something like that. And he has a whole list of Christmas carols and Christmas poems that have been just forgotten about. I was reading some just the other day, and I was like, man,
the Christmas stories and Christmas poems are some of the most beautiful because they're writing about some of the most hopeful and joyful truths, right?
Yeah. Have you started practicing Christmas caroling yet with the kids?
No, we haven't.
Yeah, me either. And I've been like, man, we got to get on that. What are the three that you always suggest?
We Wish You a Merry Christmas is one of them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't remember the
other two. O Come, Emmanuel.
I don't know. Do we sing that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah. It depends on if you are before Christmas or after Christmas carolers.
Yeah, if you're caroling before Christmas, you should definitely sing Advent songs.
Right.
Which is something we're going to talk about tonight.
Okay.
The difference between an Advent song and a Christmas song.
Okay.
And as difficult it is It's very, very challenging. Try to keep them separate.
Mm-hmm.
But no, we haven't practiced. But we need to do that. It's been chaos around here, dude, with the baby being born and like stuff.
Totally get it. Yeah, we're going to try our best to go to some nursery homes this year to sing. We're going to try to get three song Christmas carols practiced, refined, and we're going to go try to knock those out.
Do you have a favorite Christmas song?
No, I don't. I mean, Silent Night is probably...
Silent Night is such a good choice.
Yeah.
I really like God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen.
Mm-hmm.
That's just... That song, it slaps, you know?
I don't know what that means.
Dude, it's bussin'.
I don't even know what that means. We're going down the wrong path. No, I don't really have a favorite one, I don't think.
Yeah.
But...
Okay. Well,
Sally forth.
Let us sally forth. So, I was... sitting, pondering about Advent and how to prepare for Advent. And it struck me that the very, very first thing, you cannot prepare for Advent unless you first do one thing, and that is recognize your own need for a Savior. If you don't first come to this profound and essential realization of your own desperate need for a Savior, then you'll never be able to prepare for the Savior, okay? You won't have the desire, the realization, the capacity to prepare for him if you have not first come to that most essential realization, okay? So I don't know if people often give that much thought in their day-to-day life. You know, I
sin a lot, and so every time I sin, I'm like, dang it, Lord, please forgive me. Like, I'm begging you.
Yes, I have those moments where, like, oh man, oh gosh, but it's so much more profitable. Well, I don't know if it's more profitable, but it's very profitable also to have these moments of realization, even in your moments of grace, right? Because those moments of grace are because of the Savior, you know, and so just how much we need Him all the time, and that will do more than anything, I think, to help you have a good Advent. If that's all you did was focus this Advent on the realization of your own desperate need for a Savior,
mm-hmm.
then it would be a very profitable, liturgical season for you.
I find like that it would be very difficult to not fall into depression without the idea of needing a Savior. That man needs redemption. I mean, if you just look, even at the course of his, even if you think you're like a stand-up guy, you're one of the best guys. Let's just say, one of the best guys. And you're not, you don't feel like you need a savior, you're atheist or whatever. If you just look over the course of history of the world, you know, and you look back and you're like, man, we just have really messed up at times. And we just, like, we need someone to come in and save us.
Yeah. I mean, even the atheist knows this. They just try to cover it up by saying, it just doesn't matter. Because everybody knows I have sinned. That I whether they call it sin or not, but I have faults. There are things mm-hmm. in my life I regret.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have harmed other people. I have done things that are wrong.
Do you find it weird when people everybody say like, knows that they would have, like, if you had to, like, go back and redo anything, do you regret anything you've done? And you hear people say, I have no regrets because it got me to where I am today. It's like, dude, I have
so many regrets.
I have books of regrets.
Yeah. And I'm grateful that if I was able to profit from some of those mistakes I made.
Yeah, of course, because God
obviously, right? And I think that's what they're trying to say. But yeah, to say that, no, I wouldn't change anything. It's like, well, I would.
Yeah, I would. Absolutely.
I would change all of it.
Right. Because I would be in a better place.
I would be a better person today. Right. Yeah, exactly. You know, yeah, so that always does, it does bother me.
Let's just say hypothetically, if you were vice president of the country for 4 years and someone asked you if you had, you know, any regrets or if you would do anything different and you'd say, nothing comes to mind.
Hypothetically. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that person should be fired. Because in the private world, if you're an executive and it's like, what do you think we could do to better the company? It's like, oh, nothing comes to mind. It's like, well, I guess your part in this in this company has come to an end. If you have nothing, nothing to contribute anymore, then thank you. We're going to move on, you know?
I'm just curious. I like hypothetically
speaking, right. That would be my reaction.
Okay. All right, well, so when we get back, we'll get into maybe some practical ways of adventing.
How to advent strong.
Living the life of Advent.
Yeah.
Be right back.
Adam, I don't know about you, but I am getting tired of giving my hard-earned money to companies that are paying for things like abortions and worse.
I know, man. The stuff that they're teaching our kids in school, that anti-Catholic bigotry, it's getting crazy what they're pushing on them. I really just would like to spend money without having to worry about supporting these type of people.
You know, that's where Catholic-owned comes in. Finally, we have a way to shop with businesses that share all of our values.
Wait, hold on. What exactly is Catholic-owned?
Oh, it's the app to find tons of authentically Catholic-owned businesses from across the country and finally feel good about where your money goes. They've got national and local companies, goods and services, and they're adding more every day.
Man, I gotta check this out. Where can I find them?
You can download the free Catholic-owned app today and join us in building the new Catholic economy. Just use referral code CATHOLICMAN at signup.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Talking about Advent this evening. We're sitting on a little bit of eggnog. Had Evan Williams eggnog first. We're now doing Pennsylvania Dutch. Very different.
We just moved on. I'm surprised how different these two are.
Yeah, the Pennsylvania Dutch has a lot more nutmeg and cinnamon spice type of flavors to it. The Evan Williams eggnog tastes more like the store-bought eggnog that you would get with a little bit of whiskey in it, or rum.
Did you shake well before serving?
No.
Oh, gosh.
It's like dry clean only.
We just ruined it.
It's like,
the Pennsylvania Dutch has a lot more spices in it. I'm not actually sure I prefer it. I think both of them are very good. Evan Williams.
I would prefer the Evan Williams.
Evan Williams, $12.99. Pennsylvania Dutch, $13.99.
Definitely Evan Williams, though. Then.
You think so?
Yeah. Saving a dollar and have a better. Yeah.
I wonder, though, like if.
Dude, times are hard. A dollar doesn't go very far, but I'll take it.
It says serve chilled.
Yeah, it's cold.
But I mean, I know sometimes eggnog is warm.
I don't drink warm eggnog. No.
Morally opposed to it.
Yes.
Okay.
Because it's. But
I'm just glad to know where you stand.
Yeah. It's just not how it's supposed to be. Like, you're depriving its goodness, and it's supposed to be cold.
You could taste, you know, when you warm up a liquid, can taste it more.
I don't need it, no.
You know, the viscosity changes.
And right, I don't need it.
It's like, you know, the thing about putting ice in your whiskey, mm-hmm. You know, you just...
I get where you're going.
Yeah.
I'm out. So, one of the things...
I also think that I'm with you, though. The Evan Williams is more my brand.
So one of the things that I did want to mention, and I promise not to make this an Exodus 90 pitch, but I did get a chance to talk to Monsignor James Shea over the course of Advent.
I love that guy.
He's one of the best. And to talk to him about Advent, you know, mm-hmm. talk to him about living the life of...
Is it on video?
It is,
yeah,
yes.
I was going to say, that's a video, right?
Yeah, and you can access it through the Exodus 90 app if you go to it. Exodus90.com. I'm the marketing director.
Who does sponsor the show?
I would like, yeah, who does sponsor the show? And I would, we want to get as many men to uncommon freedom in Jesus Christ as possible. But anyway, so I was asking him, I said, like, well, what is the one thing that reminds you of Advent from a kid? Like, what's one of your childhood memories of Advent, of the Advent season? He said, well, I mean, he thought about it for a minute. And then he pondered it, and then he came back and said, there's several things. Here's one of them. And he said a lot of really good things, but I'll just mention one. He said, I remember right before, the day before Christmas, my father asked me to go and make sure that we had a lot of grain to feed the cows. And I said, well, why, Dad? Like, I know we have enough for tomorrow. He goes, no. Tomorrow... On Christmas Day, the cows will feast because even they will know today is a different day.
It's awesome. You know what? I do that exact same thing on like Christmas and Easter. I go out and I just get loose. I get loose with the animal feed, and it's like, anything you want today, guys.
Which I, and then
the savior is born.
And he like said, like, it's interesting the way my dad phrased that, because he said, even the animals will know that this is a different day. Mm-hmm. So it presupposes that all man, all of creation, all of humankind will know that this is a different day, which is...
I have a theory, and I have zero evidence or anything to support this theory, other than, to me, in my own mind, it seems fitting.
If you disagree, email Dave.
At the moment of Jesus' birth, I firmly believe in my heart, without any reason to, that there was a moment of peace around the entire globe. That at his birth, it just seems fitting that there would have been a moment where there was no conflict, no, like, everyone was at peace, and like there was just unbeknownst to them, to the animals, to the people, to all things. It probably even passed without them realizing it, but just because God would have seen it fitting.
My luck is I'd have been asleep when that happened.
Well, maybe, yeah. Like, dang, presumably a lot of people were, but I think it just seems like a fitting thing. Seems like something God would do. One moment of peace on the earth.
Or all peace except for the chimps. And they go crazy.
Well, you know, like, what does peace look like for a chimpanzee? It's a good question. That's a philosophical question we don't have time for.
Yeah, yeah.
Not even gonna go there. I'm not gonna go there.
Attaboy.
Okay, so I wanted to talk about some things that we do here in our home.
In the Niles home?
In the Niles home. To, you know, a lot of things we do is for the children, as a teaching tool for the kids, that I just over and over and over again find, like, myself, like, wow, this thing that we were doing for the kids
really helped me.
I got a lot out of it.
Yeah.
Okay. You know, I was just pondering that we spend all of this time and effort, money on buying gifts for people on Christmas. And have we even thought about what we are, like, making a gift to our Lord? It's his birthday, right? I don't know that I ever have. I don't know that that is really, like, directly... I've really thought about that.
Even in adoration?
I mean, like, I mean the idea of preparing throughout the season of Advent, yeah. Preparing a bounty, a cornucopia of things that spiritually I will lay before the manger at Christmas morning, right? Mm-hmm. Like the cumulative sacrifices. Like, I have, you know, of course, taken Advent as a penitential season and stuff, but I've never really thought about doing them with the intention of gathering them as a gift for him at Christmas, right? It kind of changes my like motivation, even my attitude. You know, when you're doing these penitential things, it's like, oh, I'm saving these. I'm watching my girls right now. They're like into crocheting, and they're crocheting things for Lady Pamela, right? And they're like slowly working on it, adding to it. Okay, they're like kind of keeping it a secret, even though like she definitely knows. And it's just like, yes, doing that with our sacrifices, adding to them, making them more beautiful, collecting them, that on Christmas morning, you might have a gift in its littleness, in its beauty, just like these gloves that my daughters are making for my wife. They're probably going to be ugly, but they're going to be given with love. Okay. And because of that, they're just going to be, you know, they're going to be beautiful to my wife. She'll wear them, you know? And just like doing that with our own lives, like this is a thing to do in Advent, is to save up these little gifts for our Lord that we can give to him. So I know in Easter, we'll do these, collect this jar of sacrifice beans. And I said Easter, in Lent, we do that. And then on Easter morning, I count them all and replace them all with jelly beans, right? So like the sacrifices. You can do something similar I've heard about people doing with a manger. You get an empty, like small manger. And every time you make a sacrifice, or the kids do, you put a piece of straw in it.
Yeah.
And so that way on Christmas morning, when you put the little figurine of the baby Jesus in there.
That's right.
Your sacrifices have made him comfortable.
More comfortable.
Yeah, exactly. It's a nice thing to do, but it's really, it's not just for kids. That idea, if you think that this idea of building a cornucopia or like a bouquet of sacrifices is just for kids, then you're missing it. You know what I mean?
Totally. Yeah, yeah. I find it, we did that one year with the hay that you were talking about for the manger. It was very anticlimactic, though, because there's a member of my family who I won't name to save embarrassment, lost baby Jesus. And so we still, to this day, cannot find baby Jesus.
And we all this hay.
And we lost baby Jesus. So
that's hilarious.
So that was the last year we did that. Not that we, you know, we should do it again, but that was just... Not a very good.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah.
So I also wanted to talk about silence.
Okay.
Because silence is such a crucial ingredient.
In fact, we'll spend the next 3 minutes.
Right, exactly. So for the rest of the episode, well, I'll just take some time and meditate. No, silence happens on two fronts, exteriorly and inwardly. Okay, and so I think we need to think about it on both of these fronts. That on the one hand, silence, how do you cultivate silence? On the one hand, it is things like, all right, watching less TV. Maybe not, listening to as many podcasts or music or, you know, depending on, you know, certain kinds of music actually, I think, increase this sort of inward silence that we're going to talk about. But, so it's simply noise. On the exterior noise, that is one type. But the other type is more of an inward silence. And you cannot have interior silence if your body cannot be silent. Okay? So in my own life, there are things that help me get into a contemplative state of mind by first like settling my body. Okay? Sometimes it's like smoking a pipe or a cigar. Mm. Or even hot, like drinking like a nice cup of tea. At the end of the night, I don't find a stiff drink to be one of those things necessarily that helps me settle into contemplation.
Mm-hmm.
It is one of those things that helps facilitate a conversation with people. But when it comes to just contemplation, I don't find adult beverages to be the ticket. But like a nice cup of tea at the end of the night, just to settle your body, settle your mind. It does help, in my opinion. To rest, sit into it. So anyway, we'll be right back. We're talking about Advent. Do you feel like God is calling you to go on a pilgrimage? Well, for the last 34 years, Select International Tours has been leading pilgrimages to holy sites all over the world.
And when you go on pilgrimages, Dave, you want to make sure you have the best hotels, you're touring with the best guides, and every detail has been addressed.
And that's exactly what you're getting with Select International Tours. So for more information, go to their brand new website, selectinternationaltours.com. They have been a sponsor of the Catholic Man Show for a long time now. Even during the COVID pandemic, they were still sponsoring our show. A lot of other tour companies were really shutting down. These guys were consistent. So go to selectinternationaltours.com to find out more information about all the great pilgrimages they offer all over the world. Welcome back. This is the Catholic Man Show with Adam Minahan and David Niles.
What's up?
We're talking about Advent, how to have a good one. We've been talking about silence, a couple family traditions, our need for a savior. Anything you want to add onto silence? I was just mentioning like having a cup of tea. That's just like a small practical thing that works for me.
Yeah, one of the things that we've started as a practice for Exodus 9. This is something that one of our guys...
I'm glad you're bringing this up.
Yeah.
I love this idea.
Yeah. He actually suggested this weeks ago. And, you know, because as we're preparing for Advent and the coming of Christmas, and then Exodus 90 starts January 20th. And so every week, one thing that people don't know about Exodus 90 is that every week we pray the rosary together as a team. And we mentioned by name 50 guys for that rosary. And that have gone through Exodus 90 or have signed up. And so if we have your contact information, you're added to the list. And so he decided, like, hey, during this time, let's pray the rosary every day together as a team. It will stop at 11 a.m. Central Time. And we all get together and we pray the rosary. But then he said, like, to prepare for Advent, we will begin the rosary with 2 minutes of silence. Then pray the rosary.
Mm-hmm.
And then we will end in 2 minutes of silence. And it really is powerful to just be with other people in prayer, knowing that you have a vocal prayer that you're going to be praying, and then it beginning and ending in silence. You're talking about like putting yourself into the preparation of entering into contemplation,
mm-hmm.
and allowing to have the silence at the end, beginning and end of prayer. It really gives the opportunity also for God to talk to you. But they give you the opportunity to just reflect on what those prayers are.
Yeah. So one of the disciplines for the Advent season of Exodus is 10 minutes of silence at the beginning of your day, which that's very easy. Probably most people have that. I don't know.
I don't know if that's true.
I think certainly not moms. I think a lot of moms don't. But
I think most people do not start the day
do.
Off.
I do. We. But
you're weird.
Yeah. We have the great silence every morning.
Right.
Until we have about an hour of silence every morning in the house. No talking, which is, I just love. Mm-hmm. Cannot recommend enough. I mean, it teaches your children a natural virtue of silence. Mm-hmm. But the Exodus, start with 10 minutes and end the day with 10 minutes of silence. I really, really like that. You know, you've been going throughout, but the bustle of the day and...
And sometimes it's like it's inconvenient.
Kind of hard to turn it off. You know, you're talking, maybe it's like probably you and your wife are talking about that, you know, this is your time together. And to just say, hey, let's you know, shut it down and enjoy some silence together, kind of like what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think it's really powerful, mm-hmm. honestly. And it lends itself towards a very ancient Advent tradition, which has been lost. Another thing that Exodus was bringing back during St. Michael's Lent. Thank you. The idea of a vigil, mm-hmm. an overnight vigil. Advent is the season for vigils, okay? Because it's a whole season. It's a vigilant season where we are waiting, you know? Mm-hmm. And so there's an old tradition about...
Watchful.
Yeah, like having these midnight vigils where you get up and spend time in prayer. It was you used to have a tradition where you'd get up and either pray a rosary at midnight or simply say the Regina, no, the...
Salve Regina.
No, you pray it at noon.
Angelus.
Angelus, thank you. Where you get up...
That
and,
was tough. Whew, we know, made it.
But the Angelus is a specific prayer anticipating the incarnation.
Mm-hmm.
So... That's an old thing. So having the 10 minutes at the end of the day, it kind of, it really lends itself in that direction,
mm-hmm.
which, you know, if you're looking to take on some good disciplines this Advent, doing a midnight vigil once a week, twice a week, if you're really strong, that would be a really incredible thing.
Mm-hmm.
Get up and pray the rosary. Even if you just get up and say the Angelus, at midnight, mm-hmm. just takes a minute, and you can go back to sleep. I don't know. It feels good. It feels like a sweet thing to do. So I just want to go through some notes I wrote down about having a good Advent.
Okay.
One of them is quit your phone.
Yeah, it's tough.
Put it down. Like, you don't need it. Obviously, I'm not
Jim,
saying...
Jim, he's looking at his phone right now.
Jim! Well, I hadn't said it yet.
Okay, yeah.
And obviously you got stuff, you got work stuff on your phone. I get it. I'm not talking about that. You got to do, you got to take care of your business.
Excessive.
But, you know, like scrolling at the end of the night. You shouldn't do that anyway.
Right.
Give it up for Advent. And embrace, because I get this too. It's like, oh, I want to just like, let me just see what's on YouTube. Let me just see what's on Facebook. Let me just see what's on Instagram. You know, like, what's on, what are people talking about on Twitter? And you kind of get this like anxious, bored feeling. Press into it. Let it, let the boredom sit. You know, that is the, that boredom is the feeling of the, of your appetite muscles changing. Just like after you go to the gym and you're sore, you don't get that, you know, you with your will muscles, you don't get sore, but in that moment where you're like, ugh, mm-hmm. like not wanting, like that's it. This is it, baby. These, those are the gains.
I find that most of the time my like desire to go back to my phone is the FOMO, right? The fear of missing out. Like I don't want to, like, I don't want to miss out on what's happening. Or what somebody said, or, you know, yeah. whatever it was. And then it just kind of occurred to me, like, you know, the fear of missing out, like you should be having the fear of missing out on preparing for our yes, Lord.
That's exactly, you know, right. Like, don't be like one of the virgins. You're one of the virgins who's leaving.
Right.
To go more, like buy more oil.
Right.
You're the one missing out.
Yeah, exactly.
So quit
I'm
your
the worst.
Quit your phone. And like you, to cultivate silence, you need to have a plan for the evening. Okay. Don't just think about what am I going to do this year after the kids go to bed? What am I going to do? Have a plan. Because if you don't have a plan, you don't have a plan of attack, that's where you find yourself sitting on the couch, not sure what to do. And all of a sudden your phone's back in your hand.
So pick up a book.
But so think about that. Say, oh, maybe tonight, my wife and I will do this, or I'll read this book, or I'll, you know,
play a board game with my wife.
Yeah. Or like even like, I've got this chore to do, you know, like, what is it? What is it that you're going to spend your time on?
Mm-hmm.
Don't just like go see what happens. Right. But have a plan, because that is going to do wonders for avoiding the noise of technology, which we really want to get away from here in Advent. So yeah, I put read a book for Advent. Pick a book. What's your Advent book? Read it.
Interior of Mary's mine.
Interior of Mary, huh?
Mm-hmm. It's, you have it as well. I just gave it to you.
Oh, I haven't opened it yet.
But it goes through the course. I love the opening of the acknowledgement from the author of this book is incredible. It says, like, the Lord saw it fit that we only know so much about Mary's life, and that we should be grateful for the amount that we know. And we should not wish that we knew more.
That's hard for me to do, because I want to know more.
Right. But the Lord saw it, like, this is what the Lord desired for you to see about her.
Yeah.
And so you should.
This is enough.
Yeah.
It's enough. Yeah. I also really like the book, The Life of Mary as Seen by the Mystics.
Yeah. We've talked about that many times.
Yeah. Many times. That's a,
but that's
a really
my, that's my Advent book that I've started reading.
Yeah. So have a book for
it goes,
Advent.
It goes through his whole, you know, it's a bigger book. It's, you know, 300 some odd pages, but and it goes through the whole life of Christ with Mary, and it, you know, kind of like what the Mystics book is.
You know, and it doesn't have to be a spiritual reading. There's a, gosh, I'm totally blanking on the name. I read this book years ago. It's really short. It was it's a fictional book, but it was about Joseph and Mary on their way to
Bethlehem.
And sort of about some of like the spiritual warfare, some of the, like there was about the angel that was accompanying her. Gosh, I'll try to remember it, put it in the show notes or something. But
do that.
Okay, well, maybe I'll remember it.
10 Things I Had About You. Is
yeah,
that, what
it was? That was it. It was the movie.
10 Things I Had About You.
With Sandra Bullock. I don't I'm just kidding. Anyway, have a book to read. Commit to an hour of adoration just for Advent. So if you want more silence, you go spend more time before the Lord. Attend one more Mass a week. Okay,
that's always a good one.
These are things we should be doing to prepare. And on that note, try to attend a Rorate Caeli Mass, which mm-hmm. is one of the something they'll do during Advent. It's one of those candle masses.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Yeah, it's just very sensually like impactful,
mm-hmm.
Which really does. you know, have it, it helps. Guard your speech. This is something hard to do. But a lot of the silence comes from what you say. Okay, it's not about what other people are doing. It's not about noises necessarily outside. But if you want real silence, it needs to become from within. Okay, so you got to start with yourself. Guard your own speech. Yeah, hard to do. Weekly confession, just for Advent. Okay, I'm not making you. I'm not saying you should commit to this for the rest of your life, even though that would be a great thing to do. Be a way holier man if you were. But for Advent, weekly confession. Okay, we're talking about vigilance. Vigilance, guarding over your soul. Weekly confessions forces you to really, really ramp up your examination of conscience.
Which is always,
hard to do, but something that we should be doing.
I find that whenever I fall in sin, like, I reflect on, when's the last time I examined my conscience? And there's typically gaps.
Totally. And that's where it happens. Okay, I've got several more things I want to talk about. So if you want to hear what those are, and you're listening on the radio, go subscribe to our podcast.
I have at least one more that I want to talk about with kids as well.
Okay, good.
So we're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass.
And cheers to Jesus. You want to go, what was yours? Let me do a couple other.
And yeah, go ahead.
I'll let you sprinkle in.
Okay.
Sprinkle it in.
Odd color commentary.
Yeah.
And then I'll give mine.
Cool, bro. My next one is read the book of Isaiah.
Easily done if you are on
Exodus. Does happen to be going through the book of Isaiah during the Advent reflection. That's the Monsignor James Shea is walking us through. But even if you're not doing the Exodus app, this is like the book of Isaiah is unique in its foretelling of the coming of the Messiah.
That's right.
And it's just really, if you're looking for a spiritual read, okay, you can't get better than the Word of God.
Dude, did you see the Ignatius Study Bible that came out?
I did.
I have not ordered one yet.
You haven't?
No, have you?
Yeah.
You did?
Of course. I kind of wish that they were breaking it up.
I kind of wish that you were going to order one for me.
Well, our Bible study group, that one that you used to be a part of, we all like did a group order.
Mm.
So I wasn't the initiator. I'm not nearly that responsible.
You're not an initiator in almost anything.
I mean, like, somehow I end up like in leadership roles and a lot of stuff, which is always weird for me. Like, why am I leading? Like, why am I in charge?
All right, guys, I'm in charge. I don't know what we're going to do.
I mean,
I don't even know why I'm here.
Yeah.
I don't even know what these groups of people are here
for. I mean,
for.
I have a lot to say. As long as you're cool doing it.
Yeah.
But the book of Isaiah, you just like, that's Advent, okay? So go and read the book of Isaiah. Participate in the Ember Days of Advent. Okay, so Advent is a penitential season. Ember Days this year, well, the Ember Day in Advent is the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday after the Feast of St. Lucy, which falls on December 13th. So the Feast of St.
Oh, man, well, we're at the conference.
That's true. Well, we'll have to do it. It'll be all right.
I just love when these days
line up with like, the Ember Day on like the big celebration of whatever. And personally, I always blame the people organizing things like in my heart. I judge them. I judge them heavily. And I render them judged. I don't do that. But would be fun.
You kind of do.
Mostly fun just to joke about doing, but the Feast of St. Lucy on December 13th historically has been like one of those...
Days of cinnamon rolls.
Yeah. That's what I'm talking about, bro. But they would take young girls and put a crown of candles on their head. It's like some brave young girl to represent like the light of Christ coming into the world.
Mm-hmm.
So there are several...
Some tragic events caused that tradition to change a little bit.
Yeah. The invention of hairspray really backfired. No pun intended. But, you know, in Lent, there's a couple feast days you can always count on. Like, ooh, yeah, like penitential season. But we got, you know, St. Patrick's Day, or actually that's not in Lent, but it is in Exodus 90. You know, or St. Joseph the Worker, yeah. Or, you know... But there's a lot in Advent. There's several like kind of big feast days. St. Lucie is one of them. But then the Ember Days are the Wednesday, Friday, Saturday following that. So like, if you haven't done Ember Days before, think about doing these. Okay, it's tough. It's tough to do Saturday. You know, after you've been now fasting for 3 out of 4 days, you know, like come like 2 o'clock on Saturday. Sometimes that's where like you kind of it pushes you a little bit.
A little grouchy.
Yeah, indeed. Another one that I wanted to talk about was an older tradition of having your house blessed during Advent. I think this is a great idea. It's a great time. Have your priest over for dinner. Get your house blessed. It was done traditionally. You would bless the house in anticipation of welcoming the Savior into your home, right? Which seems like a very nice, fitting thing to do.
Epiphany chalk.
Yeah.
Use that with a blessing, the house blessing.
If you have some.
Yes.
From last year.
Right. I mean, that's, well, hopefully you do, because I've never used a full stick of chalk. Well,
dangerous. If you have chalk laying around and the kids.
Oh, I always Ziploc it and put it.
Yeah, elsewhere. I think we do too. But you can see how mistakes have been made. The other thing I wanted to talk about, which you kind of mentioned already, is just the Angelus. Traditionally, the Angelus was prayed at noon and then at 6 p.m. And if you're awake at 6 o'clock in the morning, you would pray it then too. Or if you're awake at midnight, it would be prayed then also. The Angelus is like, this is a great prayer for Advent. So that's something that our family does year-round at noon. We don't traditionally do it at 6, but we do have a habit of praying at noon. And if you've ever seen the painting, The Angelus, I forget who it's by, we have it downstairs. I really love that painting because you've got these two farmers, husband and a wife, presumably, who have just, they hear the church bells in the background, for the Angelus bells, and they just drop the hoe, you know, and their farm tools, and they just pray. You know, and that's what we like to do is, boom, you just drop what you're doing and you pray the Angelus. Mm-hmm. And that's, I like that attitude towards it, as if like, hey, when the Savior does come back, I am willing to completely drop everything. Mm-hmm. You know, sort of like Peter and Andrew just dropping their nets. Mm-hmm. You know, hard at work, Christ called them and they just immediately dropped it all. Mm-hmm. And so to have that attitude towards this prayer where we invoke the incarnation, it's a really great tradition. So if you're not familiar with that tradition, it's a short, easy prayer. It only takes like a minute to maybe 2 minutes to say the Angelus. Really great time to pick up one of these ancient traditions in the church. What was the thing that you were going to say?
I find that Advent is a time also of really trying to consider, you know, you're building up to receive the Lord coming into your lives, and there's specific graces that our Lord wants to give you during this Advent season. Like, I think there's very intentional specific graces during Advent that He desires for you to have. And so then you reflect on, okay, like, well, what is it that, you know, that I'm called to do, and how did the Lord come into this life, you know, into this world? And it was through, you know, He was in a manger. He was through poor people, right? And so I think that it's really important that we, as Christians, really turn towards the less fortunate, those who are suffering, those who are poor, those who are lonely, those who are sick. Those who are, you know, just less fortunate, and really look and be very intentional and aware and watchful in the people in which the Lord puts into your life during the Advent season to serve. One way that we do this as a family, and it's something that we've found has given a lot of fruit to our family. we received a lot more from doing this, but we always pick, we have everybody in the family pick a few things that they love and put it into bags, and then we go donate it to Catholic charities or, you know, some kind of similar organization, and then serve that day at Catholic charities or you know, whatever that place is. And so that way, like, one, I mean, there's some natural benefits to this, right? Is that you're about to get a bunch of new presents. It's great to have kind of a clear
little space. Yeah.
And then there's also the benefit of your children giving up and learning a little bit of a sacrifice of something that they love that they're giving mm-hmm. away to somebody less fortunate. And then they actually see the less fortunate and serve them in having a day of service.
Yeah. I love doing this because I am always inspired and touched by children's generosity. Mm-hmm. When they go and find, they don't go and pick their like least favorite toy usually. You know,
it depends on the disposition of the child.
It depends on the child, but it also depends
also
on
like a secret swap that happens sometimes. Like, oh yeah, I'm going to take this one. And then they swap it for a little lesser good.
Oh, really? Okay.
You know, so, I mean, like hypothetically, I think that happens. Yeah,
maybe.
Right.
You could see it maybe happening somewhere. Well, but
it's not logically inconsistent.
But still, children will often like, for instance, Leo gave my son one of his favorite dolls as a gift mm-hmm. for his birthday mm-hmm. This last year. You know, like your son Leo. I mean, that was like, it's very touching to see like, hey, we're going to give something away. We're going to give this. And they go and find something that's like really meaningful. Mm-hmm. You know, instead of like, oh, I never, you know, whereas adults are like, I never wear this sweatshirt anymore. I'll give it away, you know, and we feel like we're doing something good by giving away something that has zero value to us.
Right.
I mean, you never wear it. It means nothing to you, mm-hmm. you know,
I'm going to take this box of stuff that's been packed up from my last house that we still haven't opened from 4 years ago.
Right. And then we feel like, oh, we donated to charity today, you know, which you did. And like, maybe the sweatshirt was nice, you know, it was a good sweatshirt, but it didn't cost you anything.
So when we first started doing this, we would just pick toys and then go donate them. And we found like it was good, but then we found like actually what drove it home was the day of service. Mm.
To see why. Yeah. I like that.
And so that's something that we always try to put on our calendar to make sure that, you know, we have a set day. This is what we're going to do.
So I was reading today that originally Advent calendars were opposite of what we have today. So, you know, today in an Advent calendar, you open something each day and you get a piece of chocolate. Originally, an Advent calendar was, you could do a reverse Advent calendar.
Yeah, I actually have one for you in my car that I've been meaning to give you.
Yeah. So every day you would give something. Yeah.
Yeah. These things. And I actually hand wrote
I should give.
You will be blown away by Christmas Eve.
They also, on another note, have
it's like so many stocks.
Whiskey Advent calendars.
Yeah.
Where there's like a you know, you try a different whiskey every day, which also sounds cool.
Yeah.
Less penitential, like much.
But I do enjoy the ones where like I give you the calendar and then you give me things.
I'm giving you stuff.
Yeah.
You're going to love what I pick out.
Yeah.
To give you.
Yeah. You're going to love what I picked out for you to give me.
Oh, it doesn't work that way. But I will drop stuff off at your house.
Yeah. So anyway, I think the Advent season is forgotten in culture today. And I think that it is the duty and responsibility of husbands and fathers and Catholic families to revive the tradition so that Christmas is a feast to where even the livestock know today is different.
That's right. Because they were there when he was born.
That's right.
So the last thing I wanted to leave you with is a list of songs, Advent songs.
Okay.
Advent songs are kind of hard to find. You know, if you listen to traditional Christmas music, I love Christmas music. I know a lot of people don't like Christmas music.
I don't.
Yeah, I do. Like, I get all the feels about it, you know, like
I know you do.
It's, and to me, it's like, oh man, I love Christmas music. But we listen to it all of Advent, and then Christmas comes, and the radio stations, like the next day, it's back to Mix 96 or whatever, you know? And it's honestly hard to find many Advent songs at all. Mm-hmm. So I have a list here.
Okay.
That I wanted to just share.
That you can YouTube? So,
yeah, they're all on YouTube.
On the tubes?
All there. So obviously, O Come Emmanuel, that's Advent. That's like
the gold standard of Advent songs. Knows. Yeah.
But then there's Come Thou Long Expected Jesus, a gorgeous traditional hymn. People Look East is another really beautiful.
Ad Orientum.
Yes. Yeah, it is Ad Orientum, towards the east. On Jordan's Bank, the Baptists Cry.
Not the denomination.
No, not the, yeah, they're not crying.
Okay.
The Baptists are weeping. They're on the wrong side.
Swim over to the Tiber, yeah, cross
fine.
The Tiber.
Come on. Then there's the song Rorate Caeli, which is where we get the concept of a Rorate Caeli Mass, which means drop down, ye heavens, from above, like come down.
Come down.
And then aside from O Come Emmanuel, probably my favorite one on here is O Come Divine Messiah. Just another beautiful Advent song. So all of these songs are songs, you know, Christmas songs, not Christmas songs, but Advent songs. Songs talking about the birth of Christ in an anticipatory notion. It's really hard to enforce the distinction between an Advent song and a Christmas song, and most people have no idea what you're talking about. But, you know...
And you also don't want to be the jerk and be like, actually, this is...
Right. Yeah, you're not the Advent police, yeah, okay?
Don't be the Oscar.
It's not even Christmas. You know, yeah. It's like, well, you know what? Nobody even likes you, okay? Yeah.
And if you're like, I don't even have one of those friends, you're the friend.
You're the friend. It's because it's you. I mean, I listen to Christmas music, but I try to listen to these kinds of songs too, just to... Because first of all, they're beautiful songs.
Yeah,
they're incredible traditional. Like these are songs.
I mean, Dolly Parton and Elvis Presley's, you know, Jingle Bells and things like that just only go so far. These kind of carry it to.
Yeah,
the
I'm more of a Nat King Cole kind of guy anyway.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, he's pretty great. Anyway, that's all I got. Anything else you want to add?
No, I already kind of said my last.
Okay.
Piece.
Well, hope you guys have a great Advent. Pray for us. We'll pray for you.
Maybe.